T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. We are glad you're on board, and we certainly appreciate you being here. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zanzola across the way. The Bill Michaels Show continues. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, do so at @Bill_Michaels. @Bill_Michaels. You can chime in there via the discussions. Also at Radio Joe Sports. You can follow us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. And in addition to that, just make sure you look for the blue check mark to get it right over there. Like us over there. There's also BillMichaelsSports.com, the website. And then the radio.com app, which is up and running and carries a program. If you like us there or favorite us there, then we pop right up and get a lot of the downloads and a lot of the interviews and such as well. And it's all right there at your fingertips. So Brett Favre in town over the weekend. Joe, let me ask you this. Joe, I know you probably talked about this yesterday. How was it? I mean, you were out at the AmFam Championship. How did you enjoy yourself?
I love it. I think it's a great event. They bring in a lot of great names, and they do a really good job getting Brett Favre
huge
to come back every single year.
Seeing Jerry Kelly win.
Yeah.
That's huge. That was just that's just such a cool moment, not only for golf in general, but just in the state itself for the enthusiasm and the crowd and everything. That was just so cool to pay attention to and to watch, and kudos to Jerry, but what a terrific weekend. Obviously Favre carries the crowd. How did Toby Keith do?
He was walking around with a solo cup filled with, I think, alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Because that's quite the mix between Brett Favre, Jack Nicklaus, and Andy North, and Mr. Solo Cup himself. So that,
well, I was more enamored with Jack Nicklaus because I have never seen Jack in person. And, you know, to watch him drain a birdie putt was just so cool. And I don't know if I'll ever get to see that again. There was some news that the AmFam Championship next year is actually going to be the first week of June. They're moving it back to accommodate the USGA, and that goes right up against the Lombardi Golf Classic, mm-hmm. and it also goes up against the Memorial, which is Jack Nicklaus's tournament on the PGA Tour. So chances are Jack Nicklaus will not be coming back to this event again, which really sucks. But I got to take it in for what it was worth to see Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear, hit shots, drain a big putt, play alongside Brett Favre. What a cool, cool moment.
855-830-8648. Now, one of the things that was interesting was Brett Favre was asked to chime in on Aaron Rodgers, and Brett said, hey, don't worry about it. Aaron's going to be fine.
Aaron will be fine. You know, I think that's the thing, is he needs to remain the same, and I don't have to give him any advice. He'll handle it well. I think you let him play his game and not disturb that very much. And it's going to be interesting to see if that happens.
Don't disturb that very much. I don't know if that's just, you know, a quarterback being a quarterback. I think that there's something to be said for that when it comes to leaving Aaron Rodgers alone, because Aaron Rodgers has a lot of money. You don't leave him alone, but I think what you do is there's got to be a happy medium. Look, I've said all along, I'm not overly concerned about this. I know some people are, you know, really, everybody wants to ask everybody's opinion on it, and I get it all the time. You know, what do you think about Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, and what's he going to be able to do, and on and on and on, but I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not worried about it until the season gets here. And then you start to see what happens. I mean, who knows? Maybe Matt LaFleur says, hey, Aaron, here's your choice of two plays on every play. And Aaron picks the right one all the time. and things work out, who cares? He's running it within the confines of the offense. He's getting to kind of call his own thing at the line of scrimmage. Matt LaFleur's happy and looks like a god because he's kind of figured it out. While they've given him the option and the opportunity to change the play, he's just not changing the play to his own. He's changing the play within the confines of the offense. Who knows? Maybe that all works out. Then maybe they didn't. You know, I mean, then maybe it all goes wrong and we have to wait and see. But I'm of the thought process right now. I'm just kind of waiting. I'm not going to jump to a conclusion here, but I know that's something that a lot of people are genuinely concerned with. 855-830-8648. Wisconsin, and Joe, you brought this up. Wisconsin has had the second most MVPs in the country in the last 25 years in our 50 states. The second. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Christian Yelich, obviously Giannis. And it goes back to my question. We can even maybe follow this up tomorrow, but going back to the question, you know, you got just a couple of championships. Think about that. Second most MVPs in the country in the last 25 years. Second. What's number one, Joe? New York? L.A.? California?
It's San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Bay Area.
Okay.
I sent you the link. It was from J.R. Radcliffe in the Journal Sentinel.
Okay. So, second, San Francisco and that Bay Area out in California. Okay. Well, look at it this way. What needs to be done? What needs to be done for this group of MVPs that exist here and now today to get over the top? And maybe more so, you can look at it as which is the next MVP to get there, to actually wear a ring? Probably the most likely to wear a ring. That might be even the better question when you look at Giannis can do a lot of things and take this team a long way on his own. So can Aaron Rodgers. You're going to need some really good pitching. As good as baseball MVPs are, and Christian Yelich, he's fantastic, but he can't do that himself. Giannis can throw a team on his own back and just will them to 30 wins. Aaron Rodgers can throw a team on his back and will them to 7 or 8 wins with a little bit of support, you know, with very little support. It's tough for Christian Yelich because he can't do it all. I mean, really, it's a one-on-one game between the batter and the pitcher until the ball's actually put in play. And considering Christian Yelich is only going to, out of 27 outs, Christian Yelich is only going to get 4 at-bats usually per game, 5 if we're lucky. It's unless he's driving in, you know, 3-run shots every time. He can't do it by himself. So if you had to go with a likelihood, you might have to guess Giannis is going to be the next one of the MVP circle to maybe get a ring. And that's almost unheard of, thinking that, you know, you've still got what you assume is going to be a stacking up L.A. team. You're going to have to wait and find out what's going on with Golden State because they got some things to deal with out there. I think their reign, as we currently know it, might be coming to a bit of an end. Houston appears to be blowing up a little bit. Maybe the East becomes more of a power, or at least an evened power, in the next year or two, to where there's more teams that are making runs at Giannis. He has to stay healthy, obviously. The knees and the ankles have to hold up. So who may be the – is it Giannis, Christian Yelich, Aaron Rodgers, the most likely of the MVPs to get the next ring? If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. Again, 855-830-8648. This one's from Zach. Zach writes in Wendy's email inbox, "I love the fact that Giannis got the MVP and made that incredible speech. Had me tearing up at home just watching it. What did you think of the NBA award show? I thought it was way too long and absolutely useless." Zach, I'll be honest. If it wasn't for the fact that we were all waiting for Giannis to get the award, and if it wasn't for the fact that it was littered with the sprinkling of John Horst and Coach Budenholzer. If it wasn't sprinkled with all of that, it would have been very, because I'd watch it anyway, but it would be very difficult to watch. It is not the NFL award show. And even the NFL award show is kind of like, it's a glorified gathering. We all know that. But, nah. That NFL show is a long, drawn-out snoozer. Bunch of nothing. You know, I mean, I appreciated, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson out there on stage and getting the awards and kind of rehashing some of the past. And I thought there was some really neat moments, but for the most part, it was, that could have been condensed into, you know, a half hour of just just bang, bang, bang highlights. And when I walked away, I could have went, wow. And instead, it was just drawn out. Blech. So, 855-830-8648. The NCAA against the state of California. We'll discuss. Also, Jeremy Jeffers, the Brewers reliever. He's coming up after the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. More right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back. We are glad you are on board today. As always, this portion of the program brought to you by friends over there at Quick Trip, who remind you we have cigar dinners all over the state with Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, and we've been doing these now for years. These sell out almost like right away once we get within a couple of weeks of the event, and they're so much fun, and we have such a good time. So we're going to be touring all throughout the state. Wausau, July 31st. Sussex, Wisconsin, here just outside of Milwaukee. That one's actually going to involve a little golf with it. That's going to be a big one. That'll sell out quickly. That's going to be an Ironwood golf course. There's also going to be one in Chippewa Falls coming up in August. You can purchase your tickets online at TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com today. TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. It's great cigars, dinner, drinks, unfiltered sports talk, a lot of good stories, really good jokes. And I promise you, you're going to have a great time. Don't wait. Many of the events, if not all of them, have sold out. TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. That is TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. This is something to keep an eye on, okay? And in case you haven't been following it, California, their state senate, okay, has passed a bill, if you will, last month that states that their college athletes can earn compensation for the use of their own name, image, or likeness. That begins in 2023. Now, the state assembly passed this overwhelmingly, okay? What the NCAA is faced with now, considering they have schools within California that they govern, so to speak, they then would be required by state law to compensate those athletes. So what the NCAA has done, the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, has implied that if this bill does indeed become law, they will then disassociate themselves from the California schools, and they will not be allowed to participate in any NCAA championship, which includes 23 Division I schools, four of which, by the way, are on the Pac-12. Think about it. So, in other words, sure, you want to pay your athletes? Go ahead. But you're not going to participate in the NCAA. Not going to happen. We're not going to use your face or your likeness. We're not going to put you on TV. We're not going to put you out there. You go do what you want to do. You pay your athletes. But once those programs have been eliminated from postseason competition, you're not going to see the same range of players and circumstances as you do now, which means we're just cutting you off. So this is all going to come to a head very soon because California wants their people paid. Because we all know the NCAA is making millions, billions. But their argument is, if it's a matter of paying football and basketball teams and some maybe baseball teams and some high-end women's teams, we can live with that, but we're not paying everybody, okay? We're not going to give every, because then you get into Title IX, you got to give everybody the same amount of compensation. We're not doing that. Not going to happen. Because we don't have a way to regulate who makes and who doesn't make money. If you got to give it to one, you got to give it to all across the board. So we're not going to do it. I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand. There's enough money in the pots to go around. It's just how much money is enough. So because a lot of people feel that the athletes are being compensated by free tuition, so they could say, okay, look, come to our school and you have to enroll, you have to take care of your own bills, and we're going to give you this amount of money. But if you leave early, say you want to go for, GoPro or whatever, then you have to give that money back. Or we can put this amount of money in an account for you, and you can draw on it to pay for your own education and whatever else you want to do with it while you are enrolled at school. But the minute your grades fall below a particular average or you're no longer enrolled, the money is then cut off. And that way you're actually getting money, but you're not going to get the free education. So there's ways to do this and to regulate it, but I have a feeling before it's all said and done, it's going to be falling incumbent upon the athlete and the families rather than just bringing a kid in for an education and saying, here, we're going to take care of you while you're here. Because if they're going to say, we're going to give you money, we're going to give you money, but you're going to pay for your education just like everybody else. You're going to get in and go through the same trials and tribulations just like everybody else. And if you fail, if you become academically ineligible, then the free money that we're giving you as an athlete's gone. And you're on your own. See, to me, I think that's a fair trade-off. And then you give them a little something extra to be able to say, okay, here's your money. Here's a little bit extra if you want to, you know, take the girlfriend out or go out and have a pizza with your friends. But that's going to be what actually ends up happening, I think, before it's all said and done. They're going to say, yeah, we're going to give you the money. Here you go. But you got to pay for your own education. And while your education's free, we're giving you the money for your education and a little bit extra. The minute you are academically ineligible or you leave school, the money is gone. It gets cut immediately and you're on your own. And that will be what makes some athletes, although the ones that have money and have families who can afford it, they're not really going to care. But for many athletes, that's going to make them think twice. Because imagine if you're a player and you don't have the three meals a day. You only have, say, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and then your dinner from now on, you got to go pay for somewhere else. But we're giving you money. Here you go. So we'll see. We got to follow that because what happens out in California could have a trickle-down effect for states and education and the NCAA from here on out. I think it's a very interesting story to follow. Hey, by the way, a couple of different things. The United States are going to take on France in that highly anticipated Women's World Cup quarterfinal match. Ticket prices for Friday's matchup are reflecting the excitement for this thing. They're up to more than, I should say, not up to, but more than $11,000 a ticket right now on the secondary market. $11,000 a ticket. United States, they got the win over Spain 2-1 yesterday. The least expensive ticket on StubHub.com right now, currently, $716 per ticket. The most expensive, $11,300. That's to watch the defending world champions take on Spain. In comparison, Thursday's quarterfinal has a most expensive ticket coming in at about $170. So look at what's going on right now in the Women's World Cup. If you are an avid fan of whatever it happens to be, what is the most you would ever pay for a ticket? What's the most you've ever paid for a ticket? You know what I mean? I mean, if we knew the Bucks were going into Game 7 of the NBA Final, there's hardcore Bucks fans out there. I wonder if anybody would pay $11,000 a ticket or $5,000 a ticket. The most hardcore Brewers fan out there, would you spend that kind of money to go see the Brewers in Game 7 of the World Series? What's the most you would pay for or have paid for any big event? What's the most you've ever paid for a ticket, Joe? I mean, if you've got, like, the opportunity to go see, like, somebody said, Joe, I got one ticket, I'm going to take you to the Masters with me. What's about the max, you know? You would say, man, I got to scrape, beg, borrow, and steal to get this thing.
I mean, I'd pay about, I don't know, $300, but man, I don't make a lot of money, so.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most I ever spent for a ticket, about $600-$700, you know?
Part of the trade-off for this job, I mean, I've been very fortunate to cover some really amazing things, including, you know, the Bucks playoffs recently, and of course the NLDS and NLCS last year, so I didn't have to pay for that, but, you know, those aren't cheap tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
I can't imagine, look, I guess if you got that kind of money to spare, money's no object, but To the average fan, there were some people when we were in Dallas for the Super Bowl. There were some people that paid some pretty hefty prices that said, "Hey, I would spend anything. I spent $1,500, that type of thing, $2,000, $3,000 that we ran into in some of the bars and restaurants in Dallas. Said, you know, I wasn't going to miss this for the world. There was one guy was an average fan. I mean, he was an average dude. It wasn't like he came from a ton of money, and he said he spent almost $2,700. So I just wonder what the most you'd ever pay for a big event like that is. So anyway, coming up next, our reliever of the Milwaukee Brewers, Jeremy Jeffress. He's going to join us. That is coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Always glad you are here. Hey, reminding you, over there at Cousin Subs, the Cubano is back, by the way. Limited time, but it's back, along with the Wisconsin pork and Gouda. Try the Cubano with ham, Genoa salami, pulled pork, Swiss cheese, and a whole lot more. Or the Wisconsin pork and Gouda featuring pulled pork, bacon, Wisconsin smoked Gouda cheese, onions, mayo, and Dijon mustard. Order them online at CousinSubs.com for a limited time only. Delivery now available, by the way, at select locations. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're going to be talking to Jeremy Jeffress coming up here momentarily. A lot of people chiming in on many different things today. This is from Kirk. Kirk says, hey, guys, love the discussion regarding the stop-and-go lights at the top of the aisle at Miller Park. I would love to see that happen. I don't want anybody not to feel as if they can't move around the park, but let's do it appropriately and be courteous to everyone. That has to be the happy medium. JJ writes, I am somebody who feels that I have the right, once I buy my ticket, to do whatever it is I please, as long as I am not infringing on other people's rights as well. I will not stand in front of someone, but I'm not going to be told when I can and cannot come back to or leave my seat. Don't tell me that at any ballpark throughout the country people actually do this. I don't believe you. Well, JJ, that's fine. All right, don't believe me. That's fine. Go to Target Field. Catch a game. Brewers play there. Go to Washington. Brewers play there, too. By the way, the Bucks do it. So if the Bucks have play going on, they're telling you got to wait to head down until there's a stoppage in play, and then you can head back down to your seats. You can get up and leave whenever you want. This is from Dick. Dick writes, "Hey guys, love the discussion regarding the Brewers, but let's talk about it on the field. At what point do they make a trade for some better pitchers? This team right now isn't going anywhere if they don't pick up pitching. They need a starter, they need a reliever, and they need to get rid of just some of this trash. There's not a good bankable product on this team right now when it comes to some of the young arms. I feel that they're just spitballing and hoping something sticks." Well, I don't want to say that there's not bankable talent, because they do have talent. Some guys have just taken a little while to come into their own. But you look at a guy like Adrian Houser. You know, he started to come into his own. He's pitched pretty well. When healthy, and Matt Albers hasn't been too bad. You know, obviously they did the same thing with Josh Hader when they picked him up. They brought in Josh Hader. He got a chance to prove himself, and he's been able to do so. Look, it's not strong the way it was last year. I agree with you there. And this is what they wanted to do at the beginning of the season, was just put guys into the rotation, put guys into the pen, and let's see what hits. So that way, come the trade deadline, we know exactly what it is we need. You don't want to go out and make a deal, although I wish they would have, but you don't want to go out and make a deal just to make a deal and then maybe have a good starting pitcher or a good bullpen arm that never had the opportunity to come up to the majors. Or at least you wasted them in the minors for a season when they could have been on the big league club and the big league roster helping the team out. So I think there's a fine line there, but I would not say that there isn't any bankable talent there. This one's from Travis. Travis writes, my other brother from another mother, Shaw, is not doing anything right now. At what point do you finally say, I can't take it anymore, I have to send him down? David Stearns, please wake up at the wheel. That is from Travis. Brian Anderson and... Brian Anderson basically said when he was on with us a little earlier that David Stearns will make a deal when urgency necessitates it. The Brewers are not urgent right now because they've been winning ball games and because of the standings. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, so don't take it as gospel. But it's hard because you can say, okay, how many games would the Brewers have won if indeed they sent Travis Shaw down and Keston Hira had come up? Would they, instead of being a game behind the Cubs, would they be a game or two or three in front of the Cubs? I don't sometimes think that urgency can necessitate the deal, but also bettering yourself could necessitate the deal. Because you've given him all the opportunities in the world. You know, I mean, like we've talked about, it's just you're coming to the end of the rope. And let's just say in the next 2 weeks, the Brewers fall, say, three games back or four games back. You're almost at that point forced to make a move if things continue in this direction because you have to then change the direction. But I think what Brian's saying, and even Aaron or even Adam McCalvey to a certain extent, is that the Brewers are still right there in the thick of things. So you're not forced to make that decision. Let's see here. Simi, I think it's Simi. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that name, but I think it's Simi. Says, what do you think of your Brewers now? They're one run under the run differential, and the Cubs are plus 64. The Cubs are going to run away with the division eventually. Why are the Brewers so obstinate when it comes to spending money? I didn't realize that over the weekend they had gone to one run under 500 or one run under the run differential. So I'm just kind of pulling it up here, and you are correct. The Brewers are negative one in the run differential count. Look, but the run, we can talk about that. So it certainly can an indicator when you're talking about runs scored and such, or maybe more so runs given up, because that means that the margin of victory, even though you're sitting there right now, six games over 500, your margin of victory has not been nearly as much as it has been your margin of loss. But the Cubs are plus 64 and the Brewers are negative one. What does that say either about the Cubs or about the Brewers? You know? I mean, think about that for a minute. Because that means the Brewers are only a game back and they have negative one in the run differential column. You know what I mean? Where the Cubs are plus 64 and they can't separate themselves from the Brewers. Which means the Cubs, you can kind of look at it as the Cubs' wins have been kind of all or nothing. Where they've gone out and just put up big numbers, but at the same time, they've actually lost games in close ones. So they're either blowing a team out or they're losing by a couple runs to continually create that run differential to where they're at to only be a game over the Brewers at this point. So if you're the Brewers, you kind of go, you know, they're not even playing anywhere near their best baseball. And they're only a game back. What happens if they do pick up some pitching? What happens if Travis Shaw or Jesus Aguilar or both do begin to hit? What happens if Lorenzo Cain begins to hit better? You know what I mean? So I look at it as, yeah, there's some things right now where we can look at the chinks in the armor that is the Milwaukee Brewers. But if you're a Brewers fan, you're going, man, if this team just does turn it around, holy shnikes, they're going to be just that much better. Just look at how good they can be. So there you have it. This one's from Dwayne. Dwayne says, your discussion about people walking up and down the aisles in the seats has been a good one all day long and has created a discussion here at work. It seems that many baseball fans want to be able to see the game, while people in our office who just go to enjoy the social aspect of a baseball game, just to go to Miller Park for the experience, don't understand what the big deal is. It seems to be a cultural thing. It also seems to be a courtesy thing for those that actually deal with those around them. It's funny because you mention how people feel about people walking up and down the aisles, but our customer service department says it would be rude and wrong, and as a company, we would never want to infringe upon the rights of the people that are using our product, as opposed to the people who are casually using our product, because our hardcore fan base is actually what we're trying to support. It kind of makes sense. I get what you're saying. So basically what it is that your company, whatever that may be, you want to support your hardcore fan base because the people that could live without it or take it or leave it, I guess, that's not your hardcore fan base or your purchaser. I don't know what business you're in, so I couldn't honestly tell you. That was a very weirdly, must have been very categorically written email, but I get it. I understand what it is you're saying. Jeff writes, hey guys, I don't get why so many people are insistent upon getting up and just walking up in the aisle, up and down the aisles, and not caring about anybody else around them. All I ever hear from them is, I want to be able to do what I want to do. Not once has anyone called up to say, here's a suggestion for you other than to either stay at home or move. Can you explain? Jeff, no, I can't. I can't. I can't explain it because I don't have the mentality. Because the people that are saying, can we just watch the game, are not saying you can't move. That's not what they're saying. What the people that want to move around is saying that if you can't see the game, go home or you move. You know what I mean? So I don't know what to say. I don't think that way. That's why I brought it to the forefront. And that's what's created the discussion. And you know what? The people, and I get it. Jeff just writes, another Jeff, by the way, just writes, I can't believe the, blank you're taking on Twitter and Facebook from some of these people. It's not even a discussion. It's just mean-spirited, young, angry arguments. They don't make sense. Why do you pay attention to them? Well, look, I try to pay attention to everybody. But you're right. Some people they're just screaming to scream. They just want to gripe to gripe, basically, which is fine. You know what? Hey, if you're paying attention, that's what it is. Pfister writes, this is what happens when you have somebody that's used to sitting in the press box all the time. No, that's not true. That's not true. How do you know that? Just deal with the facts and not the perception. And again, take me out of the equation. Take me out of the equation. What about the guy that was sitting next to us? What about that family? The guy that called in a little bit earlier today that said, "Hey, he was sitting there with his family." What about them? Is it screw them too? Because they're just as much, they have just as much right to their ticket and to watch the game as I did. Okay, so take me out of the equation. Look, people were complaining about it. It wasn't just me. My idea was, okay, let me show you what these people and myself in this section are dealing with. Why is that so angering to you? You know? Sinner says, the ballpark is fun. Let's keep it that way. No sitting rules are needed. I sat up here for the whole 18-inning game. Did I complain? Hell no. I cheered and enjoyed my time at the park. You should do the same whenever you are, wherever you are, and not complain about people moving around. So, in other words, you got to see the game for 18 innings, okay? We couldn't. I would have loved to have enjoyed more innings of the game. So, in other words, you got yours. Screw you. Quit complaining. Don't you understand the mentality? Don't you understand what you're saying? Smokey Zupan says, hey, Joe, I heard Dave from Monona call today. He's a chronic complainer, and the strange thing is he's also blind, so his comments are somewhat jaded. I don't even get that, but I didn't know he was. I couldn't honestly tell you. I don't know him. But when you say kids shouldn't be at the game anyway, I find almost knocked me over. Because every sport, doesn't matter what it is, every sport wants kids to play their game. Why? Because the parents take the kids want the gear, the kids want everything from the hats to the jerseys to whatever it happens to be. And then they grow up to be fans who then take their kids. That is called creating a legacy fan base. And if they look, because this one I found really, Rich says they don't care about kids, they only care about the paying public. Who do you think the public pays for if you bring the family? You're buying the Dippin' Dots and the hot dogs and the brats and the pretzels and everything else that goes along with it. And you're buying the extra ticket. And if they didn't care about them, then why are you running the bases with kids on Sunday? Why do they have the kids zone? Why do they have the Kohl's make your own sign and face painting for the kids? To say they don't care about the kids, you cannot be that ignorant. How do you say that? How do you justify that? Let's do this. We'll wrap things up coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. Good discussion today. A lot of people, pretty respectful for the most part, but then there's just the shut up, quit chiming in on my rights type of people that don't really have a take. They just want to bitch, for lack of a better term. No real consensus to their thought. And you know what? You can't be taken seriously when that happens, just an FYI. You just become nothing more than just noise. So if you got a take on something that's legitimate and a reasoning as to why, I'm all for it. We've had some good discussion. But for the most part, some of you, you're part of the problem more so than anything. And that's the way a lot of people look at you. Let's go to Jake, listening to us in Waukesha. Jake, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on quick before the end today.
Sure.
I got a couple parts here. So first, my son and I, we travel to different ballparks once a year. So the guy who said he doesn't believe you, that other places don't do it in his rights and all that junk, that's ridiculous. So our favorite ballparks that we've been to, Pittsburgh, they have signs up that say, do not go down while there is a batter at bat. St. Louis has signs up that say, do not go down while there is a batter at bat.
Mm-hmm.
We just got back from the Padres series, actually, which was not as fun as we hoped. But they actually, their ushers hold you at the top with signs that say, as a common courtesy to other guests, you please do not go down in between innings. So they make you wait 100% in between innings. So a lot of ballparks do this. It's not some crazy radical idea that you have. So that's the first thing. Second thing, it's a huge pet peeve of mine too, so I'm glad that you brought it up. I mean, I get some people, maybe, you know, you have two kids, you have a beer, nachos, and you don't want to stand there for an inning. Fine, I get that. But at the very, very least, and even I teach my 8-year-old son this, and he gets it, at the very, very least, just wait until in between batters. I mean, you got 30 seconds. If you're standing at the top, wait, and as soon as that out hits, then go down, you can get to your seat, and you're not interrupting anybody in between plays. So that's what I think, at least wait in between batters at the very minimum. It's just a common courtesy thing for me. Thanks, Bill.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, people don't realize that this is, we're kind of the anomaly here in the state of Wisconsin. This is the norm is just the opposite. The norm is in many ballparks is they promote the fan experience to be respected and your experience to get up and down the aisles and do your thing and go where you want to go to get that to be respected as well. It's not an all or nothing scenario. Let's go to Mike listening to us in Denmark, Wisconsin. Mike, how you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, I got a comment on this. They've been doing that out in Denver. I usually go out to Denver every year for a game, and they've been doing that for years out there in the lower level. And I always thought it was for fan safety, so you wouldn't get drilled in the head if you weren't looking on a foul ball game. But the more I realize it now, it's just for fan inconvenience. Because when I sit at the lower level at Miller Park, you can't see nothing half the time because people are standing up all the time. So I don't even sit down there anymore.
Yeah. It's you know, again, I appreciate the phone call, Mike. It's just, for lack of a better term, it's just kind of trying to find a happy medium so everybody feels respected. That's all it is. Nothing more. Nothing more than that. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. This one's from Greg. Greg writes in a Wendy's email inbox, I can't believe everything that's gone on and been said here today, specifically the guy that told you to go home and beat your wife for walking in front of the TV. Those are the type of people you're dealing with, people that just don't give a damn about anybody else. I, for one, don't have a problem getting up and down, but I understand if you have 20 to 30 people doing it, it becomes a distraction. I would rather see them stop you at the top of the aisle from coming down in between batters rather than just the end of the inning, but I think there's an agreement here that can be made. Hopefully the Brewers are listening. Tom says, this is something I've been complaining about for years. My wife and I go to about 20 games a season. We sit all over the ballpark. It is problematic everywhere, not just down the first base line. Again, he says, I hope the Brewers do something about this. Joe says, why do some stadiums enforce it and other stadiums don't? Can't Major League Baseball say something about it? You know what? Baseball doesn't really come in and enforce the stadiums because the stadiums are actually the property of the ball clubs or of the city in which they reside. You can't make a rule with it. You can to a certain extent because you got to, you know, rule the specificities, the dimensions and such. But like right now, you've got the Dodgers and other teams saying, hey, you know what? We're going to go ahead and extend the nets all the way down the line. Now, baseball didn't mandate that. Baseball mandated just the extension to a certain point. But, you know, teams can kind of do their own thing, and many teams do. Many teams put in certain, you know, rules and regulations in their own stadiums that aren't in accordance, so to speak, or mandated, should I say, by Major League Baseball. So they can do what they want to do. I'm out of here. Off to Rice Lake, Wisconsin. So looking forward to that broadcast tomorrow out of Turtleback. We'll be there. And I'm sure this is going to be a discussion. If you want to chime in over Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelShow or follow me on Twitter and see some of the craziness that's going on there as well. Just don't get caught up in some of the ignorant Twitter muscles because that's what they're there for, to just troll you. Just remember that. Going to go ahead and get out of here. Have a going. See
listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.